just have to wait. You see, ducks don't speak English. Now these ducks have made us late.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, April 11th, 2024. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Taz Mellis.
Hey, Duck fans, this one's for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, a Top Shot Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo.
Ayo. And last but not least, over yonder making the magic happen, super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live on YouTube. We love it. Hit the like button, subscribe, share the show. Podcast listeners, leave us a 5-star rating and review. 5-star Friday on tomorrow's drop.
Yeah.
So you still have, well, a little less than 24 hours to get it in.
Yeah, at least get it in. Maybe it'll be a May 5-star Friday. I don't know how quickly Apple populates these things. Mm. But I think I'm going to go in and check some other podcast stores as well.
Oh,
the Canadian version.
Oh,
the Australian version.
Philippines.
Oh. Sure.
Yeah, that's
see
a good idea.
Yeah.
What are the international fans saying about us?
Who knows?
1 stars internationally. Just hate it.
Too North America focused.
All right, fun show here today. A little bit later, we're going to revisit some of our over-under picks from the preseason. I'm going to break it down how we did. Spoiler, not brutal, but also not great. Pretty average, but we'll go through some of our best bets, maybe some of our worst ones, talk it out. We obviously have Tweet of the Night as well, but some big games on last night. Let's start with the big one at the top of the West. Jokic and the Nuggets reclaim that top seed in the West with the 116-107 win over the Minnesota Timberwolves. Jokic, 41 points, 16 of 20. From the floor, going time and time again at Rudy Gobert there, one of the best defenders over the past decade.
Yeah, one of the best defenders against Nikola Jokic, I'd say. Could have been the best one last year in the playoffs. Played him in the first round, looked pretty good. And then this guy goes 16 of 20. I thought it was just a very fun game from the beginning. Jokic was just having fun. Tip off before the game, just jumping up and jumping up and jumping up before the ref throws it up. Had some fun with Anthony Edwards in the box, pretending to box him out after a free throw. There was actually a Joker in Denver, the classic Batman Joker. Mm-hmm. He dressed up pretty well. I mean, it was just a fun game where it was really close until the fourth quarter when Anthony Edwards was extremely quiet, maybe going with a back-to-back 50 the night before. 0 points in the fourth quarter for Anthony Edwards when they desperately needed them. Mm-hmm. And the Denver Nuggets played like a championship team, scoring again, again, and again. 10 straight possessions in the last few minutes, which was sparked by Christian Brown. 3 dunks in a minute, that guy.
Yeah.
And he said afterwards, probably the best sequence of my NBA career. You're right, sir.
His own dunk contest in 1 minute of a close game against one of the other good teams in the Western Conference. He's probably not wrong.
Yeah. Switched hands on one of them. That was awesome. Kendall Gill style.
Awesome. That was awesome. Right to left. I mean, he had it in the postseason last year. He had some moments, but that was from the 4 minute mark of the fourth quarter to the 3 minute mark, he had 3 huge dunks.
Yeah.
That was
the place
awesome.
Exploded. The lead ballooned, and then it was too much for the Wolves to get back into it. But yeah, Jokic, great game. Jamal Murray looked pretty good as well. He scored, 20 points in 27 minutes, limited him a little bit. And then, Brown and Peyton Watson was blocking everything. That guy was everywhere last night. I know Jokic was sort of addressing them after the game, their contributions. But what'd you think here?
6 blocks for Peyton Watson last night. Ooh. He's got 13 in his last 3 games.
That's what he does.
That's pretty good. Yeah. And a lot of them are jump shots. Yeah. He's incredible. I'm having some serious
ear. Going on here?
I don't know. My ear is too grippy right now, so it keeps pulling off the, the thing. I don't know. I got grippy ears today, so I'm just rocking a... Just one ear, I suppose. I think it'll work. You say Gobert is one of the best guys guarding Jokic. It does not matter.
No.
Jamal Murray has told that story from Jokic playing against Gobert in Gobert's Jazz days. Gobert's waving him off. I got him. I got him. I got him. Let me guard him one-on-one. And Jokic responds, brother, I have 47. Guy went 16 for 20, and every shot was challenged. They tried Naz Reid with Gobert being the help defender, which is how teams like to try and play against Jokic. Naz Reid is too small. tried Kyle Anderson in the same role. He's too small.
Way too small.
Yep. Gobert did block Jokic's shot at one point. Yeah. That was cool. That was one of the four shots he missed, though. So this guy is unstoppable. You mentioned it was a four-point game with 7 minutes left when Jokic checked back into the game, and they scored 10 straight times. Incredible from the Nuggets. They can just end a game like that. It's like the Warriors, really, when they were at their peak. Yep. And it's like we come out, usually for them, I feel like it was the third quarter, they would come out and just blow out the game, and then it was over by the fourth. But tends to be in the fourth quarter for the Nuggets. Though I'll say the bench really, I thought, won this game in the third quarter when they extended the lead when Jokic was on the bench. And I thought that's where you saw the Timberwolves really missing Karl Anthony Towns, because Anthony Edwards is on the bench too. Nobody could really generate their own shot against the second unit of the Denver Nuggets. Maybe Edwards should be back there to like go with the second unit, but then he's playing the entire second half. I don't know what you're supposed to do without Karl Anthony Towns. So him coming back, I think, will certainly help Minnesota to have somebody else who can be an offensive focus, because it was a struggle at the end of the third into the fourth quarter. You can't lose the non-Jokic minutes against the Nuggets.
Yeah, and the Nuggets were winning those minutes, the non-Jokic, non-Murray minutes. They're playing without Nikola Jokic and without Jamal Murray. You're right about Kat. In the fourth quarter as well, this Timberwolves team, throughout the entire season, it has been a question mark what they're going to do in the fourth quarter. They have struggled in fourth quarters many times. And so going and getting former Nugget Monte Morris was a that guy didn't win the title, has to go play in the title's champion freaking arena. That sucks for him. But he was sort of supposed to be the answer. Cat is supposed to be the answer. They desperately need him in the fourth quarter to finish things off. That wasn't there. So no Jokic, no Murray. Also, the closing lineup for the Nuggets, they sat Aaron Gordon. They sat KCP for Christian Brown and for Peyton Watson. Yeah. And that was the question. Is this Nuggets bench going to be good enough? Peyton Watson can be a poor man's Aaron Gordon, the way he dunks the ball over and over and over again. Just cut along the baseline, sir. And so that was awesome to see with, yes, point guard number two, Nikola Jokic. Maybe he's point guard number one. I mean, everything running through him over and over and over and over again. That was fun. It was Warriors-like, you're right. And it was fun hearing Bob Myers on the broadcast, I got to say. I liked they were just talking, just telling the stories instead of just calling each play. It wasn't, but they were calling actual insight into the game and into the teams. It wasn't just chatty chat. It was good. Good broadcast as well.
The Nuggets are best in the West, 33-8 at home. And this is important, obviously, going for the number one seed. That worked for them last year. They were the number one seed. They went 10-1. During their playoff run at home to help them win their franchise's first NBA title. And yes, they are now in that one spot. Wolves down to two, Thunder three. Thunder picked up a win last night, but because of the tiebreaker, Minnesota stays in number two. Fun game. And I was looking at the brackets here, and I know we'll show them in a second, but I was like, ooh, wow, we could get Jokic versus Luka in a second round series here if Dallas can get by the Clippers in the first round and Denver beats whoever comes out of the play-in. Yeah. It'd be pretty damn exciting. Those two guys, those two buds, those goofs going at each other in a potential second round series. But I'm looking too far ahead. But let's talk Luka, unless there's anything else you want to talk about of the Denver win.
Well, I just say it was important for the Wolves to get the one seed. Way more important for them than for the Nuggets, I'd say, because they haven't been there. The Nuggets will have home court through the Western Conference when they finish one. But they won't in the finals. So that's the interesting part.
Yeah.
That's the interesting part.
So Luka scored 29, Kyrie had 25. The Mavs rolled past the Heat, 111-92, to claim the Southwest Division. It's theirs. Nice. Sometimes that's important when it comes to tiebreakers. But yeah, pretty impressive win here as the Mavericks keep rolling. They've now won 16 of their last 18 games. They really are the hottest team in the league. You had Kyrie getting himself $1 million last night because the Mavs hit 50 wins and he played 50 games. Luka nearly had a triple-double. Gafford has another streak going where he can't miss. I think he's up to 22 straight now. He hit 6-for-6 last night. Remember, he went for 33 straight previously this season when he joined the Mavericks. But really good win here from Dallas, and just to continue to play at an elite level.
Luka is really making a push for MVP here. And I thought that when this game ended, you're seeing a lot of buzz on social media. Maybe Luka should be getting some votes here. I saw Kevin O'Connor of the Ringers. Like, I'm seriously considering him. Of course, that was before the Nuggets game. when Jokic slammed the door, I thought. I mean, I've had him as my guy since the Celtics game. But yeah, the Mavericks, in the last 31 games, Kyrie Irving has played 31 straight games. That's the longest he's played in a long, long time, I know. Dallas is 24-7 in those games with Kyrie. 39-19 overall on the season. And like you mentioned, Skeets, you made $1 million.
Cool.
Last night, yeah, good stuff for him. But also, in that 16-2 stretch, I saw Tim McMahon of ESPN tweeted that the Mavericks have the number one defense in the league. And that is so important because they're obviously playing a balanced style of basketball. The ball moves so well with this team right now. I haven't gone and checked their passes per game stats this season compared to the previous right. season, but it certainly feels like the... We were getting some fizzing around the perimeter. Inside and outside, you try and play a zone, it doesn't matter because P.J. Washington can find Gafford. Obviously, Luka is a magical passer. They play fast. They shoot threes. They've got a lot of depth right now, a lot of versatility. I do believe Doncic has at least been the second best player in the league since Embiid went down. Like, the top three guys this year are Jokic, Embiid, and Doncic. Doncic has put it together in the second half of the season. Embiid obviously dominated the first half of the season yeah. before going out. So, I mean, he's probably finishing second in MVP. I think rightfully so, but that means first team all NBA.
Yeah, I think we're all guilty of it, but everybody who talks about the NBA MVP decides in February, oh yeah, it's this guy. And we don't wait until the end when the Mavs have gotten better since the trade deadline. There's no doubt. 50 wins is a good mark for the Dallas Mavericks, and it ain't that far back from the Denver Nuggets. 6 wins difference. It's not crazy amount of wins, but they have gotten better. This team was the number one offense a few years ago when they set the record for best offense ever, and now they're starting to look like that a little bit more. They're just buying into Jason Kidd defensively as well. Yes, they fizz it. But they also have two magicians. It really is. Luka didn't look good. Didn't look like he cared at times in this game, to be honest. And then Kyrie is just freaking perfect right now. He is playing his best ball. And so those two guys, guy in Kyrie, who is very, very, very comfortable being a number two on a championship team. We've seen it. Yeah, maybe he was a little angry, and that's why he left Cleveland. But it seems like they've got just this magic working together. And you said they've won the Southwest. The weird thing is the team they beat, the Miami Heat, in the Southeast – you'd think, oh, they can't win a division. No one's paying attention to divisions. But you'd think, they can't win a division. They're in the play-in tournament right now. They could. They actually could beat the Orlando Magic, which is really weird. The Orlando That's Magic weird. Lost against the Milwaukee Bucks. And we're all talking, oh, they could move up to the 2 seed. Well, now, if they go 0-2 and the Heat go 2-0, they play the Raptors twice, so that's not a problem. It's if the Magic will lose twice, maybe. They lose and could drop all the way to the play-in tournament. It's freaking nuts. That's a legitimate chance that the Magic could drop all the way down. The Heat will win, but they're not going to win in the playoffs. They just, this ain't right. There's no way.
You don't believe the zombie Heat will come alive once again in the play-in or playoffs? No?
I can't. I know everybody saw last year what they did. Obviously, that was cool. But Jimmy just doesn't look right. He doesn't look right. What he's looking for, every single possession, the way he dribbles to the baseline, there's jump passes happening, which he used to be good at, but it's got a little Dwayne Wade to him where he got a little old at some point. And that's what it looks like with Jimmy Butler, who's, turning 35 this year. So that ain't right. But anyways, things are just messed up. We got a few days left of standings that are going to jump around a lot.
There's 3 nights of regular season basketball left because there's no games on Saturday. I think I have that right. So we got tonight, we got Friday, and then we've got Sunday where everybody plays. Miami could have assured itself no worse than the number 7 spot in the East standings by winning its final 3 games, including that one last night, which they dropped, so that's not happening. They're 20-19 at home. 24-17 on the road. Maybe this is one of the weird teams that doesn't want to host the play-in game.
Absolutely.
And will be better off for some weird reason. Maybe being the 8 seed, which they could be.
I think they don't want to win their division because of that. Seriously.
It's so strange. They're a weird team. And yeah, you just go back and forth. We're only going on what we've seen from this team prior seasons. Yes. Where they just turn it up a notch. Suddenly guys can't miss. Jimmy goes to the next level. And so we're just like... You just do the whole thing like, could they do it again? Or do you go, well, no, I'm betting against them finally. And one of these years, you might be right. And maybe it is, because they don't look great.
It was a back-to-back. It was back-to-back for both teams, but they played in a double overtime game against the Hawks, so they were tired. They had a bunch of guys playing 40 minutes the night before. So, yes, excuses, but this is going to be hard.
Let's show you the playoff picture, because we've usually been showing you the playoff standings, but here is how it would break down if the postseason started today. While we show you this, let me tell you that the Thunder, again, are in third despite that win against the Spurs. They stayed in third because the Wolves hold the tiebreaker. The Suns beat the Clippers. Nobody played for the Clippers. But they climbed within a half a game of the number 6 Pelicans. That Suns victory also locked the Lakers and Warriors into the play-in tournament, so that's official. And the Clippers are going to face the Mavericks in round one. We have a matchup set. Dallas can still get home court against the Clips in the first round if LA loses its final two games to the Jazz and Rockets, and the Mavs win their final two against the Pistons and Thunder. Could happen, but we at least know it's going to be Clips-Mavs, third round here of Luka versus these Clips in four postseasons, I think I have that right?
I think so, yeah, because they missed last year.
Anything, though, jump out to you there, TK, from what we see right now? This could change tonight.
The Suns are lucky to get a win last night. They took care of business ultimately, but not an impressive win. The Bucks, though, 2-0 with Patrick Beverley starting. He was asked post-game what it means that they were able to respond after, I think they went 1-6. He said, Doc made the right move, putting me in the starting lineup. Mm-hmm. I love this guy.
Yeah, he's probably right.
Maybe so. The ball moves, at least, with Beverley there, because he only wants to take wide-open shots, whereas Malik Beasley wants to take every shot. So 22 assists from the starters last night for Milwaukee. I thought Dame was really good on this one. He seemed to be playing basically point guard mode, then really got on track in the third quarter. I think he scored 12 of his 27 or something like that. And Jay Crowder had a big game as well. And then you mentioned it. Yeah, the Mavs, man, the Magic are in trouble because they play Friday against Philadelphia and Sunday against Milwaukee. Both teams that are going to probably be playing something. Yeah. So that would be a tragic fall from the two seed down into the seven, where you're playing one game against the Heat, who even if we're not necessarily scared of the Heat, like, you're definitely favoring them over a team like the Magic, who has never been there, versus like a super vet team in Miami. But nice win for Milwaukee. I think they have done at least a decent job of steadying themselves, getting the win when Giannis went out, and then winning again last night.
And Giannis is going to miss the rest of the regular season here. You know, still TBD when he comes back in the postseason. But sounding to me like, you know, he avoided a serious injury. The calf's an issue. Rest him for these final three games or whatever they are now, and hopefully have him back for game one of their potential first-round series, whoever they play.
Yeah, right? Yes, absolutely. And he's going to fight through the pain. Hopefully it is pain that he can deal with, because as I said yesterday, the man is a warrior. He will fight. But I want him to be healthy, because the Bucks look damn good in these two games since Patrick Beverley has become the starter. It is strange to say that, but it's not only on the offensive end, it's just defense to have an attitude without Malik Beasley out there. He needs to be that type of guy beside Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
Because Dame, it's not his forte on the defensive end, but Patrick Beverley, it is his forte. And you saw it yesterday, along with Bobby Portis, who's starting for Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's been a monster this year when Giannis has been out. I was watching the broadcast and I saw, whoa, is that real? The guy's averaging 23-11, essentially, when Giannis is out for six games. I'm like, okay, sure. Yeah. And then Bobby went off to start this game. He was awesome. Stealing balls on the perimeter, getting into a spin and fade on Banchero in the post, a spin and fade on Mo Wagner, who wanted to fight him. And you always worry about Bobby fighting somebody, but he ended with 30 points, a career-high five steals.
Yeah.
They look like a different team. Patrick Beverley's hitting hook shots, man. That guy's hit hook shots in two straight games. What is up? I don't know.
There's and he's got like a torn ligament in his wrist, right?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Maybe that was the problem his entire career. Both my wrists work fine.
We also had someone return from a hand injury. Trae Young came back with a beard.
Yeah.
Or at least a more fully grown-in beard. Sure. A heavier beard on Trae Young. But the Hornets spoiled his return to the Hawks. They beat them 115-114. There was a late layup that put Charlotte ahead. But what'd you think of Trae Young? He played in 21 minutes. Now, he didn't play in the fourth quarter, so maybe the Hawks win if he plays. They probably do. But 5 of 5 from the field. He had 11 assists, 14 points. He had missed a good chunk of time here with that torn ligament there in the pinky. Had a big brace on it there. What'd you think, though, from Trae Young here? What you saw there last night against Charlotte?
He looks great. The Hawks really don't want to play in tournament at home, I guess. They pulled the plug in this game.
Totally.
The fourth quarter, they were playing nobody.
Yeah.
They were literally playing nobody.
They're like, okay, I guess let's go to Chicago. Chicago's a great city.
Let's see the Skyhawks play.
Yeah.
Literally, Mo Gay was in. Kobe Bufkin was in.
Yeah.
Veet. My guy Veet played 12 minutes in the fourth quarter. That was weird. They completely punted the fourth quarter.
They did.
But they punted, I would argue, the game, really. DeJounte Murray didn't play. Okay, he's got a right quad injury. I'm sure he could have fought through it. DeAndre Hunter, rest, okay? So they really don't care. And then Jalen Johnson, a little ankle sprain, I get that. But, like, again, I feel like all three of those guys could have played if they were like, we gotta have the ninth seed. to help our chances. But yeah, you're right. They sort of punted the start of the game. Then they were in it. They were up big. Then they sat Trae Young in the fourth, and the Hornets pulled it out. Weird.
Yeah, they won't get fined by the league because Trae Young no. played. But look at what Memphis did. Memphis was playing Cleveland and had 12 guys on the injury report that they didn't play. 12. That is wild.
A full team.
Santi Aldama, Desmond Bane, Brandon Clark, Jaren Jackson Jr., Luke Kennard, John Concher, John Morant, Derrick Rose, Marcus Smart, Yuta Watanabe, Vince Williams Jr., another Williams, Zaire Williams.
Right.
All guys didn't play. They played 8 guys in that game just to lose. So they should be fined. I mean, those guys could have played.
Not all of them, but...
Yeah. No, yeah, no, yeah. Not Morant, not Marcus Smart, not the guys who are really important, but a lot of their guys. So
yeah.
Teams are just pulling the plug a little bit, for sure.
Young said his goal is to work up to a normal load of minutes by the team's final regular season game. Because like I said, he only played 21. And, you know, it was funny. It was almost looked like he was playing with one hand for a good chunk of the game.
He was playing
one-handed. Yeah, but he went 5 for 5. His first basket, though, was with... the hand with the brace on. Nice little left-hand layup inside. Yep.
Had a lefty layup. He had a lefty oop. But I actually didn't think he looked rusty. And he looked like he wasn't playing the same style. He had a 24% usage rate last night. He's a 31 for the season. And obviously no Murray means that Trae could have definitely taken more possessions. I thought there was a ton of times where, you know, it might be Veet bringing the ball up or Bogdanovich bringing the ball up. And Trey's just hanging out in the corner. You could tell he hadn't played for a month and a half. So theoretically, he'll get better. But he wasn't in the lane all that much. He's protecting his hand so he can be healthy for their one play-in game.
Yeah, he's calling it now.
Yeah, the Bulls number is 1. I said on yesterday's show, they don't get a magic number when you're clinching 9 and 10. We need a name for it. It's their static number.
I like that.
Their static number is 1 because Steph No tweeted that the Bulls and the Hawks have been in the 9 and 10 seed every day in the Eastern Conference since January 15th.
Wow.
They have not moved... either of them.
So basically, the Celtics have been in the number one spot since probably then, if not before. And then these two teams
have stuck at 9 and 10 the whole time. Hawks have never got to 9. Bulls have never dropped to 10. They've just stayed there for 2.5 months.
Depressing.
Almost 3 months, man.
It's depressing for those teams. That means it's very depressing for our team that's never even like challenging them.
That's
Raptors.
True.
It's depressing for some of the teams that are around them. Like, it's not like they've been lights out, these teams, obviously.
Crazy.
Wild. Wow, that's a crazy tweet. Okay, well, are you going to fly home to Chicago for the 9-10 game?
No.
No?
No.
What?
I'm going to game 3 against the Celtics.
Oh, okay. Okay, I gotcha. So you got the Bulls beating the Hawks and then beating, you know, could be the Heat.
I would love to beat the Magic.
Oh, wow.
That's who I would love to beat. Okay. Vooch. Vooch back in Orlando.
Oh, Vooch revenge
putting up
game.
A 50-piece.
Wow. This story right there.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big juicy investment. Now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
All right, let's get to some other news. Well, off of those Hawks, according to NBA insider Mark Stein, the Hawks are likely to trade either Trae Young or DeJounte Murray this offseason. We've heard these rumblings for a while, but Stein reported, I guess it was in February, that one person acquainted with Atlanta's dynamics said the team knows it has to trade one or the other. So Stein's got somebody on the inside from the Atlanta organization saying, yeah, we know we got to move off of one of them. Again, this is something we've talked about. I know it's something we're going to continue to talk about. I feel like that's just where we're at with this team because they're disappointing. And they pay, well, DeJounte Murray's contract's going to jump up here, what he makes after his contract extension that he signed last July kicks in next season. You can't have two guys like this that make pretty good money here and in your backcourt and like be a sub 500 team. So you almost feels like you almost have to make a decision and move one of them.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, unless you're getting a spectacular defender to be the center, to be that type of guy to help out defensively, because their offense is still damn good. Mm-hmm. But yes, they have to evaluate what the heck they are, because I think what Stein is writing, and maybe his inside guy is John Hollinger, who writes for The Athletic, who basically said the same thing at the end of February. This is kind of a sliding doors moment. We've had Trae Young here in Atlanta for 6 years, and the team has been fairly similar for a long time until they got DeJounte Murray. Yep. So maybe him out lets the Hawks front office just evaluate and understand what they are for the first time in 6 years, essentially, because Trey is durable as heck. He's been playing a lot throughout his years, and they went 12-11 without Trae Young. So same old Hawks. I mean, it's really the 500 team. That's what they are. But that's, as Hollinger wrote, Young's injury is by far the most interesting thing to happen in a mostly forgettable season. It is. Mm-hmm. It's been a forgettable season. And after the year, though, they have to think about things for sure. Unless, again, because this team was really, really good. It went to the conference finals with a spectacular Clint Capela, but Clint Capela ain't the same guy. They need a guy who's a great defender back there. And after the season, things change. The Lakers accumulate more draft picks that they could trade for Trae Young. They could have 3 first-round picks for Trae Young. And I say that because Trae and Anthony Davis blocking shots would be fantastic, and that could be something different. But yes, the Hawks are probably going to trade one guy.
I mean, you go out to any bar here in Atlanta, talk to any basketball fan, either a diehard or even a casual, and you talk about the Hawks. You talk about how disappointing the season has been. Oh, man, we thought the defense would be better. And then you immediately get to Trae, the idea of like, well, which one are they moving? Who should they move? That becomes the debate. Should they look to trade DeJounte Murray, or should they look to trade Trae Young? Do you have an opinion on that?
Well, they tried to trade Murray.
They did do trade.
And nobody wanted him.
Yeah.
Because they know his contract is getting more expensive, and he maybe makes you a 500 team. And they've had 2 years of evidence, the Hawks do, that DeJounte Murray and Trae Young together, you're going to be a 500 team. This season, 14-14 without Trae, 2-2 without DeJounte Murray. You put them together, -6 per 100 possessions when they're on the court together. It just doesn't work. And they've got a lot of picks going out in 25, 26, 27, all going to the Spurs. Right now, they would get Sacramento's 24 first-round pick in this draft, yeah. But the Kings are really sliding right now. They could. It's a top 14 protected pick. The Kings could end up keeping that pick, and then it would transfer in 25, but that's just spending too much money and too much draft capital for a team that is stuck in the play-in tournament time after time. So it's more likely, I think, that Trae Young gets traded at this point because he will bring back more than DeJounte Murray.
Yeah, I would agree with that. He also, I mean, when you look at the deals for both these guys, Murray's 4-year, $114 million contract extension. Again, it kicks in next season. So that's got him making, what, about $25 million at the start of that in 24-25. Trae Young, he makes $43 million next season. He's got 2 more guaranteed years left on that contract. He does have an early termination option worth like $49 million down the line in 26-27. So that's, I mean, we're talking almost double Trae Young's contract to DeJounte Murray. Trae Young's a better player. I'm not sure he's twice as good as DeJounte Murray. At least in this Hawks system, he hasn't proven to be that. So, yeah, the return that you would get for a player of Trae Young's caliber, you could get some draft picks back. Maybe you get a young prospect or two, and then you just go with DeJounte Murray as your guy. It's not great, because then you're terrified. Well, you know what's going to happen. I mean, Trae Young's going to come back into this barn in the fortress with the Lakers, with whoever he goes to, and light their ass up. Yeah. You better hope to trade them to the Western Conference to only
That's
see it once.
Point, yeah.
Because, oh boy, you can picture it. You can literally picture it happening. But I wonder if that's what they'll do here.
Yeah, you brought up the Spurs, and I always think about DeJounte Murray leaving the Spurs the year after he was an All-Star, and they got a lot for him when they were, 34-48. And they said, you know what, our best player? We're dealing him. And they got worse. And obviously, it's turned out extremely well for them. Yeah. But yeah, the Hawks front office was taking calls for DeJounte Murray. It wasn't anywhere close to what the Spurs got, obviously, because of just how he was playing with Trae Young and how that worked out. And then you see him sometimes, you know, by himself in a different role. Yeah, it's obviously good, but they just can't have the same guy right beside each other. Like that type of player anyways, where everything goes through him.
According to ESPN's Woj, the Celtics and Jrue Holiday have agreed on a 4-year, $135 million extension that will commence next season. Holiday is going to decline his $37 million player option that he had in place for 24-25 season in order to secure this long-term deal. This came sort of, you know, out of nowhere last night. TK, what do you think of the Celtics and Jrue Holiday? 4 years, $135 million.
Great deal for Jrue Holiday. That guy's going to be making a lot of money until he's very old.
Yeah.
Because his contract is going to pay him until he's 38 years old. So I'm like, who else is about that age? And what are they making? Like, obviously, LeBron is in the mix. Al Horford is in the mix. And then the guy that I thought was kind of similar to Jrue Holiday is Mike Conley. He's going to be making $10 million when he's 38 years old. I think that's a better deal for the team, but you can see why they would want to keep Jrue around. He's a great defender. He's having literally the best three-point shooting season ever from the corner, shooting 62%, which ESPN says is the highest percentage of anybody with 50 or more attempts in league history since they started tracking it. So he fits in perfectly there. So I think good for him, good for them keeping the core together. I doubt he finishes his contract in Boston just because they're going to get so expensive. And, you know, logistically and like legally in the bylaws of the NBA, they can keep everybody. The Celtics can going forward, but it becomes a matter of how much does their ownership want to spend, how much luxury tax, and how okay are they with being completely over the second apron, because they're guaranteed to be a second apron team with Jason Tatum's Supermax coming, Jaylen Brown's contract kicking in. If they want to keep Derek White after next season, they're going to have to pay him. So I kind of think this season or next season is it for the Celtics to win the title.
Yeah, it's about them winning as to how much they pay for all their guys. Like if they continue to win, then yeah, we're going to overpay. Because we have a perfect chemistry. And that's what Jrue Holiday has somehow manifested his career into. It has worked out really, really well for him. You know, he started with Philly, and then he went to New Orleans, where things didn't really work out all that well. He was having success, but they weren't winning playoff series. And then Milwaukee decided, oh, yeah, we like this guy. We're going to overpay. They paid a lot. I use the word overpay. They paid a lot. And then they won. And then he was perfect. And that's what could be happening here with the Boston Celtics as well, being a complimentary guy. Because he said the corner shooting as well as the three-point line period. This is his career high in terms of just three-point shooting. And, yeah, he's going to make money that a lot of other people aren't making because, as ESPN reported, he'll become the fourth player to sign a guaranteed deal worth more than $100 million at 33 or older. And you mentioned the guys Horford, LeBron, and Curry are the only other guys. So this guy, he was a number 17 pick way back when he was 19 years old. And this contract will take him to his 19th season that he's going to play when he'll be 38 years old. So it is a career, I think, that just panned out perfectly when they went and got him in Milwaukee. Milwaukee obviously changed direction. It's an interesting move by them.
They went and got Damian Lillard. Jrue Holiday was on the Blazers for, what, four days?
Yeah.
Something like that. And then the Celtics swept in there with Brogdon, I guess Time Lord, a couple picks, and got Jrue, and then he got the extension here. Now, the extension hits at a lower average annual salary and saves the Celtics some, you know, immediate tax money, so that's good, but significant commitment to a guy that's getting up there in age. But still, when you add the three-point shooting, at least in the regular season, can he do it in the playoffs? We've seen him at times struggle from deep in the playoffs. You know, he's still a great perimeter defender. He just fits perfectly. I'm with you, TK. This is a hell yeah. We got to win this title now, this year, or maybe at the very least next year. And then I'm not sure if they don't, there'll be changes. That could include like Jaylen Brown or something like that at that point, if not Jrue Holiday too.
I mean, like, at this point, one of the biggest things that's going to happen for the Celtics team building wise is Al Horford's getting ready to retire pretty soon. Like, if they win the championship this year, maybe he's not on the team. He says, see you later. I can finally retire now that I got a chip. And that would save them some money. But yeah, otherwise, they can pay back. They can do it. If they want to, they can pay like the most expensive roster bill in history, right? Mm-hmm. They could absolutely do that, but will they? Who knows? Especially if like they keep having incredible regular seasons and then coming up just short in the playoffs, you're going to change something up eventually.
Moving on to NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, who said Wednesday afternoon that Raptors forward Jontay Porter, who is under investigation by the league following multiple instances of betting irregularities over the past several months, he could be banned permanently if what he's accused of is true. And Silver called this a cardinal sin, the whole Porter betting scandal. Again, if it is found out to be true. He had a lot more to say, too, about some other things, but this is getting all the headlines here. Mm-hmm. Him saying, hey, I could do it. I got the level of authority, and he is taking it very seriously, this betting on games as players.
Was he asked specifically about that, or did he just start talking
I believe he was asked about it. Yeah. Yeah.
Because these are the first comments he's made about it.
Yes.
It's been a couple weeks since it happened, and I like the terminology he used, the cardinal sin, the integrity of the game. This is what it comes down to. You can't gamble on your own game. So I like all that. I just find it a long time that this investigation is happening. Like, why does it take so long? I know it's 2 weeks and that's not a long time, but I mean, I checked the tape, and to see Jontay Porter running off the floor and saying, my eye hurts, you gotta sit me out, because he had an aggravated eye injury, or he ran off the floor and said, I'm sick, when it looked like he needed to use the facilities, like air quotes sick.
Because he had bet on himself. Well,
yeah, that's what it looks like.
Allegedly bet on himself on the unders.
On the unders.
Yes.
Yeah, so he needed to get off the floor. But I'm just perplexed how this takes so long. I guess they're just doing their due diligence, but it shouldn't take that long. There's got to be a TV show out there that should be doing it. You know what I mean? Like, there should be some inspection. Get the watcher on this or whatever. Like, something to turn it around quicker. Feels like a long time, but maybe he's planting a seed. Because he knows it has happened.
Maybe.
What'd
you think of Silver's remarks here?
Probably got to dot your I's and cross your T's if you're going to ban a guy for life.
Fair.
Yeah. Hasn't happened since 1966 that somebody's been banned for gambling, but it happened all the time in the 50s and 60s. All kinds of crazy names when you go to the Wikipedia page for players banned for all time. All the other ones are for drugs in the 1980s.
Right.
No surprise. But yeah. He's basically laying the groundwork for if this investigation goes the way it seems like it may, we might be done with Jontay Porter. And
yeah.
I think that would be the case. Because the first time this happens, it looks the worst. So they're going to come down really hard on him.
Yeah, he also talked about that the NBA prefers gambling to be out in the open, right? Because we've talked about it. The NBA has gotten in bed with all these gambling sites. I mean, it feels like every sport has. You know, and they're incorporating into the broadcast. And we talked about them adding it to the app and all that. But he's like, this is better. Because it's just happening, or it was happening a lot more, you know, in the dark, and then it's tougher to catch the irregularities than if it is in the open, and that we can, you know, it can be more easily discovered, and we can penalize, I guess, players that break it. He also said he wanted the federal framework of the governing sports to sort of take over all of these gambling issues, and it not be so patchwork state by state how it's different right now. So that's what he's thinking as well.
That's America.
What definitely caught a lot of people by surprise, he calls it the cardinal sin, and he says how this is the worst thing ever. And people go, well, there are players in this league that have beat up their wives in front of their children and done other very severe things. And this is the worst? I mean, okay. Maybe you're getting into semantics there, but still. Yeah, I think Porter's going to be banned. I think you guys are right. He's saying this to say, I have this authority, and if we are 100% convinced, then we're going to have to send the message to this, you know, really, let's be honest, like a no-name player.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are the type of players that might be more likely to do it, I guess.
Yeah, when it first happened, I thought it may take the course of what the NFL has done, which is suspend a guy just for a season. But when looking back, those players bet on other sports, first of all. At first. And then even if they were betting on NFL, they weren't betting on their own team. So it is a little different. And I think, a full ban does make sense in this instance.
Oh my God. Well, for the integrity of basketball, you have to do one of two things. One, get gambling as much as you possibly can out of the NBA. Good luck putting, you know, the toothpaste back in the tube there. Or when instances like this happen and they're true, you have to just like squash it immediately. You have to be the most severe you can be, which is banning you for life, because that is a slippery-ass slope. Which is, like, if we're being honest, we don't even know if it's already happened before. Maybe people were just a lot better at it than Jontay Porter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't know, right? The idea of, like, especially the prop betting. like that, you can influence. I can hit the under and then not take a shot. I mean,
maybe he just had to go to the bathroom. He ran off the floor.
I gotta go.
And sit out the other three quarters. It's interesting. Both times was at the end of the first quarter. Literally at the end of the first quarter, I'm done. He didn't play the other. So it's sure.
And there's a bunch
fishy.
Of bets like placed on FanDuel. Aren't they? They also, I think they found out some big bets placed on maybe DraftKings like the same night. I think the guy is, how much he's involved is the real question. Yeah. And was he, you know, he told he had to do this, and was he peer pressured into it?
Were other people he knew making the bets?
But he was influencing to hit the under by taking himself out. Probably.
Allegedly. Sick stomach.
Yeah. I mean, it's the easy out. If I don't want to go out, you guys are like, hey, we're having dinner Saturday night. I'm like, oh, I don't really want to go. I'm not feeling good. I got the shit or something. And everyone's like, okay, no problem. It's either you guys have kids, so you go, oh, my kids aren't feeling well. That's an easy out. I don't have kids, so I either have to go, oh, maybe the dog's got the shits, or I got them. Somebody's always got the shits, and it's the easiest out. No one questions it. All right.
It's fair.
You don't want to follow up questions. Oh, what'd you eat?
Unless you were out together the night before, was it food poisoning? Let's clarify.
That's true. It's true. They never cleaned the margarita machine.
How are you feeling after Nina and Rafi's? No shots.
I've been perfectly fine at Nina and Rafi's.
Should you be allowed to bet your overs?
Ooh, that's the compromise. You just can't bet the unders.
I'm gonna go out there and ball out.
Well, that's the whole.
I feel like confident tonight.
Wasn't that Pete Rose? Like he bet on his team.
Yeah,
a lot of, you know. So that's
only
like
to win.
Only to
that's
win.
What he says.
Right. Sure. All right, final piece of news here. Going to the WNBA, the Indiana Fever will be the most televised team in the WNBA next season. The league announced this yesterday. The Fever will have 36 of its 40 games featured on national television through the WNBA broadcast or streaming partners. Indy has the number one pick in Monday's WNBA draft. That's on Monday.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, they just ended their college career. And obviously they're going to be selecting Iowa star Caitlin Clark. So 36 of the 40 games on national broadcast, 8 of those on ABC, ESPN, ESPN2, and then a lot of other streaming platforms. Not surprised, I assume, by this decision here from the WNBA?
No. Imagine they swerve and take Cameron Brink number one. Yeah. Change up.
They could do the funniest thing ever. Yeah. Is that somebody said?
I do like that, like, it's kind of like having a built-in star coming into the WNBA because the college season ends, they have the draft, and they're starting like a month later. And it's pretty amazing, the turnaround for the women's players. I see that a lot of teams around the league are moving into bigger arenas for their games against the Fever. Like, I was looking at the Dream schedule. Like, the Dream attendance is like 3,000 people in their arena. Way more than 3,000 people are going to want to come and see Caitlin Clark play against Atlanta. So that's going to be really cool. She's going to be on... The team was bad, you know. They finished at the near the bottom of the WNBA, but her and Aaliyah Boston, I'm looking forward to seeing together. I just hope that whoever the coach is for the Fever lets her play similar to how she played at Iowa. Yeah, you know, like, it's given a rookie a lot of rope to come in and say, yeah, shoot it from half court. Nobody else does that in the W. Can you? She probably can, but yeah, she's a star. Very cool to see her on TV a lot.
Yeah, and people are going to be watching. And that's why the schedule has expanded, but also because the WNBA's popularity has expanded as well. People just care about this sport more because it is becoming more global. Because it's just a damn good league, period. And obviously she's good. Very, very good. I guess she's not going to be playing in the big three as Ice Cube tried to get her into before the season. That's very tight. It's very tight to do that.
Quick turnaround.
I think they do cross over a little bit in that her training camp with Indiana would be at the same time as the big three, so it doesn't really make a heck of a lot of sense. The regular season doesn't cross over, but I don't think that's happening. Either way, she's got to chill out, I guess, because they are really close.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They are
super close.
They go
right
close.
Into it. On one hand, that's great in theory for the league because they can ride this maybe wave of her popularity and some of these other stars that are going into the WNBA. Like, it's right there and it's like fresh of mind. You're like, oh, yeah, I want to see Clark play or I want to see Reese play. Oh, they're in the WNBA now. But, yeah, tough for them as players to go right into it or at least very soon into it. Four games that Indiana does not have any national broadcast for, 2 of them are against Atlanta. What the hell?
Hey.
Our Dream. June 13th, and again on September 8th.
No not going to show Ryan those Howard? Ones.
I don't know what else is going on in the sports schedule on those days, but yeah.
You can watch it on Peachtree TV.
Oh, that's right. We could.
Local.
During the solar eclipse, did you guys see this? They had a little plane, a little prop plane, flying around the sky with Watch the Hawks on Peachtree TV. Nora noticed it.
That's pretty smart.
And I was like, yeah. I was like, did they do that because it's the solar eclipse day and more people are looking up at the sky? Not at the time of the solar eclipse, but earlier in the day. I was like, wow. Good thinking. Because I've never seen it otherwise.
It's got to be the day people are looking at the sky the most.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
But can you see it through your glasses?
No, I was looking at it without my glasses.
Oh. Risky.
No, but the sun, I'm not looking right at the sun. It's it avoided the sun.
Get that plane down before 3:04 p.m. Eastern.
All right. Lots of Caitlin Clark and the Fever on your television sets this summer and then into the fall. All right. Final thing here before we get to Tweet of the Night. I'll try and move with some pace, but I saw this going around yesterday. I think it was the Ball guys. One of their fans broke down how some of the national podcasters that cover the NBA, how they did overall when it came to their over-under bets for each team, win totals. You know, some, I feel like Pelton struggled. His machine struggled. It's not Pelton himself, but his machine struggled. You know, Rosillo did pretty well. Trill Bro Dude was doing pretty good. So I was like, how did we do? Now, Tassie, you weren't here with us at the start of the season. You were recovering from your accident, but it was just TK and I. And I was like, I wonder how we did. Did we do above 500? Were we brutal? So I went back and listened to preseason over-under shows. We did two shows, one East, one West. And I looked at, did we hit them? Were we brutal? I'll move with some pace here. The Celtics, we got that one right. 54.5 wins Boston was at. They're going to win 62-plus games. So, you know, a pretty easy cover. TK, you said 57 wins last season? I don't think they got worse. So that was your reasoning. I was banking on Porzingis. That was my whole thing. I was like, if that guy plays, they're an easy over. Which is ironic, because in the end, he did miss a decent amount of time. Like, I was talking on that pod about, like, he plays 70 games, they're easily winning 55 games. I think he only played, like, somewhere in the 50s. So he missed a little bit of the season, but didn't matter. They were elite. The Nets, 37.5 wins. We both took the over. We did think this was a very weird one. We were struggling. We had a lot of trouble with it. Now, I was a little bit on Ben Simmons Island. I was starting to make my way to the island. And, you know, Trey was over. I was leaning over. So we got that one wrong. The Knicks. That was one of my locks. I took that. I loved the continuity with the team. Trey took the under because you called yourself a hater. You did say, even though you took the under and you got that one wrong, you said, hey, if everything goes right for the Knicks, they could be a 3 seed. So you were seeing it, but you still, because of your Bulls fandom, you decided you had to take the Knicks under.
There are two wolves inside every man.
Yes. the Sixers, 48.5 wins. You took the under and you got it right, TK. Now, this was Harden was still on the team. And you talked about the cloud of Harden hanging over them, and maybe that'll have an impact. We were agreeing that they were going to be like right at 48. Wins 49 wins. I went just over, and you know, they're like a 45 46 win team. They're gonna come just under, so you got that one right. And then the Raptors, this one was interesting. 36.5 wins, that's what the Raptors over underline was. Now they're a 25 win team. Trey took the over for the most insane reason, persuaded by Drake's son dropping a song that featured Grady Dick in the video. That was like the number one reason you talked about
sports.
And I'm happy to say, not happy, I bet against my team, but I got it right. I super swerved. I did the reverse jinx, whatever you want to call it. I was like, they're going to trade these guys. I was really banking on that. And even Schumann in the chat said, OG Siakam free agency equals possible trades. He nailed it, so I took just the under on the Raptors, which they did. That's the Atlantic Division, so not bad. Not great, not bad.
The Nets, man, they messed with us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They shouldn't have been as bad as they were.
No. The Bulls, 37.5 wins. Now, this is one that's actually still open.
Yep.
They're at 37 right now, but they play the Pistons and Wizards. I'm pretty confident the Bulls are going to win. Maybe at least one more game. I think they're going to get to 38 wins. I gave you the victory here, Trey. You took the over. You said, quote, I'm a stupid idiot. And I took the under on your Bulls, just under. So we're very close, but I think you're going
to
hit it.
Well, the Bulls are worse against teams that are under 500.
True.
They've lost to the Pistons twice this season. This one is still not a guarantee, I don't think.
So they can beat the Knicks, too. They have three games left.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they'll probably beat the Knicks.
Yeah.
So they'll win one of their final three games. That'll be over. Cavaliers, 50.5 wins. This might be one of our worst picks. We both hit the over. Trey locked it in. You know, talking about how they got better. You were talking about their three-point shooting that they added. We even addressed, if they up their three-point takes, they're going to be a better team, which for a stretch during the season was spot on. But they're a 47-win team. They're not going to win 50 games. No. So we got that one wrong. That was probably one of our worst ones when we look at both of us taking it. Pistons, 28.5 wins. We said, take the under. TK was adamant. The number's just too high for me. You only cared about Cade Cunningham's play. That was like all you cared about. You're like, how does he look? How would you grade Cade Cunningham's season despite the 13 wins here for the team?
C.
Okay.
Okay, so Cade Cunningham.
Not
C.
Not overly impressed.
No.
But not the worst.
If he was good, they would have more than 13 wins.
This was one of Trey's locks, the under. I went with the under as well with you. Again, we talked about it just being too big of a jump. I will say the chat, they were disagreeing with us at the time. They thought we were being way too hard on Detroit. 28.5, which now looks insane. It would be 18.5, and they'd still be under. So the chat, for the most part, was wrong, but we had that one right. Pacers, 38.5 wins. We both took the over. You said they're going to be one of the most fun teams in the league. Knocked it out of the park. Talked about that offense being a juggernaut. So they cleared that one easy. What are they, 46 wins, something like that?
Nice call.
Easy,
good
easy
wolf.
Over.
Good wolf choice.
I think this is one of our best bets. The Bucks, 56.5 wins. We took the under. We talked it out. You had concern about the Bucks' age.
Yep.
Now, we did talk, I specifically talked a lot about, could this be like a pissed off Giannis here after the loss to the Heat?
And it so was.
Yes, it was. Right, exactly. But we were like, there's no rush for this team to like try and win 60 games and stuff like that. So they did have Dame at this point when we were making these picks. But we said we were just like just under, but they may not win 50, right, with how many games they have left. So 56.5, we took the under. That was one of my locks. Southeast Division, the Hawks. Ka-ka. You took the under. You pegged them as a 40-win team. You basically were like, they'll just be the same as they were the year prior.
Easiest bet on the board.
This was my worst pick. Quote, I'm pounding the Hawks over. I locked it in. I was banking on that Quinn Snyder full camp. I was banking on a bounce back year from Trae Young. You know, I was banking on them playing a little bit of defense. I did say I think the Hawks will have a 3-game win streak at one point. I said you can make some money on that. They lost their first two games of the season, but they won their next four. So they did win that 3-game win streak there, but I was way off on the Hawks. You got that one right. Hornets, 30.5 wins. They're like a 19-win team. Trey took the over.
Yeah.
Now, this was your team in the Nut Dust Bowl.
Yeah.
You were 100% betting on LaMelo playing. That was the whole thing. You're like, when he plays, they're a better team than 30.5 wins. But, you know, unfortunately didn't play a lot. I literally took the spite under, is what I called it, because I didn't want to cheer for Bridges. So I'm like, I'm not cheering for him. So I hit that one on pure spite. Heat, 46.5 wins. They lost last night. The under comes in. We both hit it. Trey, you locked that one in.
Oh.
That was one of your locks.
Risky.
Yeah, I know. So, you know, that one's close. Vegas nearly nailed that one. Magic, 37.5 wins. We both talked ourselves into the under. Barely under. We both kept saying. But they cleared that easily. They're like a 46-win team here.
I think that hater wolf might have been running wild in my heart.
Well, you did talk a lot about when we were making these
Paolo,
picks.
Oh, Paolo, man. I love that dude.
Yeah.
I love Franz after playing in FIBA and winning the gold medal for Germany there. But, you know, they did the trade with the Bulls, so I can't pick them up, man.
Rewatching this was the one that surprised me most, that we both took the under. Yeah. I would have just thought one of us would have, like, oh, yeah, I could see this being a year. I mean, that's not even that big a line, right? 37.5 wins?
Not at all.
And like I said, they're already at 46. And then the Wizards, 24.5. My team in the Nut Dust Bowl, they are under significantly. They're at 15. Trey took it. Trey said, when I said the over-under line at 24.5, Trey went, whoa! Easy over from Trey Gregory.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby.
I did take the under. I said this could be a hilarious team. They were.
It was.
For all the wrong reasons. So add that up. East records. Trey, 8-7. 2-1 when it came to your locks. I was 9-6 in the East. 2-1 when it came to the locks.
All right. All right.
Not bad. Gets a little worse. At least for me, we didn't do as well in the West. Warriors, 48.5 wins. We both took the under, so that was good. I was a little shocked by that one, too. I was like, wow, not one of us took the over on that. We thought the line was good. They felt like a 46-47 win team, we said, and that's where they're going to be. I think they're at 44 wins right now, 45 wins, so it'll be right there. They'll just be under. We got that one. Clippers, 46.5 wins. They hit the over. We both took the under. We both took the under. This was pre-Harden trade. I don't know if that would have changed things. We just couldn't. We couldn't go over because we're like, how do you handicap a team when the stars never play or we don't know if they're playing? It's like one of those things. If you say, hey, Kawhi's going to play in back-to-backs, Paul George is going to play a significant amount. I don't know. Maybe you change your decision on 46.5, but you lock that one in. So we got that one wrong. Lakers, 47.5 wins. Trey, you took the under. You're just going to sneak in there because they're going to come in just short. They only have two games left. They're at 45 wins, so they can't hit 48. I took slight over. We did talk about whether LeBron would play 65-plus games to make All-NBA. And he did. Oh, that was a little interesting. Nice. It came up like while we were talking out the over-under. We're like, he's going to want to make All-NBA. Now, we don't know if he will. I think he might. He probably will make his, what would that be, his 20th? 20th straight All-NBA Jeez. Team? That's insane.
Didn't make it as a rookie, probably.
That's right. Yep. That's right. So, anyway, I took the over. I was wrong. Suns, 51.5 wins. This was our Western version of the Cavs. We both took the over. Yep. We were like, we were convinced. We saw too much preseason action.
Yeah, exactly right.
We're like,
exactly.
look at them. They're putting up 70.5 points. How are you going to stop this team? Which at times looks right, but, you know, they struggled to stop teams and they go ice cold and then they had a bunch of injuries, at least with Beal and stuff.
I bet there's some hilarious names we said during that segment. Like, talking up Kata Bates Jop. Talking up Chimezie Metu.
We weren't too bad. We were talking about the good. Stars a lot, but look, they're a 46-win team, 47, so they're going to be under. They're not winning 50 games. I locked that one in, so that was big L for me. I was really talking up the Suns. As a regular season team, I was like, they're going to crush that line. Kings, 44.5 wins. They just made it. Just made the over. They're, I believe, at 45 wins here. Trey, you did take the over. You said a lot of like negative things about them, but then you eventually came around. You said, you know, they're not going to be as good as they were last season, which you were right, but you still had them over. And I called this line disrespectful.
Yeah,
I was upset. I was upset by this. Vegas nearly nailed it, but I locked it in and I got it. Way to go, Kings. Northwest Division. I'll tell you right now, our best division.
Okay.
We nearly swept this division because we agreed on a lot. Nuggets, 52.5 wins. Trey said, you made notes about how many people were taking the under. You were doing like a deep dive on the betting lines and how many people were putting money on under Nuggets. We're saying over. And they hit. They're at 56 wins here. Number one seed in the West right now. I went with you on the over. You locked that one in. Wolves, 44.5 wins. We were flummoxed by this line. We were really struggling with this one. We thought, I don't know. You said, I don't feel good about it. We talked about them figuring out the big rotation. Could Ant go to another level? He was already pretty good. Yeah, he looked good in FIBA, but how good is he really going to be, like, immediately? But we took the over. I will say, you really took the over. This was one of my ones where I'm, like, hosting the show and I almost forgot to give an answer, but I was leaning with you. So I did sort of put it down as a win for me. 55 wins for the Wolves. They pounded that over. At the time, though, remember coming into the season? It was a lot of question marks.
I remember that was the worst trade of all time.
Yeah, right. Thunder, 44.5 wins. Trey Kirby, big Chet Holmgren fan.
Big
said,
Chet.
I'm taking the over. They crushed this one by about 10 wins here. I did say, too, I went the over as well. Even though we were like, a lot of people are loving the over. We showed some hesitation, but we went with it. I did say, quote, I'm starting to convince myself that Jalen Williams is going to be a star. Preseason action.
There you go.
I mean, he's on his way. Looks awesome. Blazers, 28.5 wins. We said, take the under. 21, 22 wins they're going to end with here, so well under. You said some teams in the Western Conference are going to have to lose.
It's true. Not the top 10.
Nope. We talked about Scoot's season being a roller coaster ride. There was going to be a lot of highs, but a lot of lows. I'm not sure. This might be the lamest roller coaster ride of all time.
Yeah, it's more like a giant drop. They just hold you up there, and then at the very end, you get a little bit of excitement. Because yeah. I think Scoot just had a great game. He had like a 12-assist half or something like that.
He did. I thought it was going to be a little bit more like this, but it's more like what you said. But anyway, we hit the under on the Blazers. And then the only team we didn't get right in the Northwest Division, the Jazz, 35.5 wins. So they're going to come up, you know, approximately 30 wins. We both took the over, though. Oh, you said over barely. And you were doing a good job. You were selling me on them. You actually talked me into the over because we were going back and forth. And I predicted that the Utah Jazz would be a good in-season tournament team. For no reason.
Were they good in the in-season tournament?
I don't think so. I don't remember them making any noise. Do you? I don't think they did well at all. So I was way off on that one. Playing on that weird purple court, remember?
Hey, 2-2 in the in-season tournament. They were better in the IST than they were in the RS.
Final division here. Our worst division, from our best to our worst, Southwest Division. Mavericks, 45.5 wins. We both took the under. We thought they would improve, but we didn't think the jump would be that much because they obviously had a pretty bad year the year prior. I mean, they leaned into the tank at the end. But we both took the under. They're a 50-win team. We liked the idea of the defense getting better, like, you know, Lively as the pick, Exum there, you know, Derek Jones Jr. Like, it made sense. But we took the under, though I did say I was really torn, and I said at one point I'm going to go flip a coin. Remember we talked about finding coins in our cars?
Still looking
and
for one?
I never flipped it, so I almost don't know if I could take this as a loss, but I was leaning under with you. Rockets, 31.5. They went over, and we took the under.
Yeah, this one's one of my biggest
L's. Yeah, yeah.
The Rockets fans were bookmarking me on this one.
Yeah.
They were right.
Again, we talked about all the new guys coming in there, how they would help, Coach Udoka, but we just didn't think the jump would be that significant. I mean, did they increase their wins by like 20 games almost?
They were 22-60 okay. last
Ballpark.
Season. So, yeah, plus 17 right
plus
now.
Plus 17, okay.
This might have been my the math ain't math in line about the Rockets. Yeah, yeah. This one, the math.
We got it wrong. Grizzlies, 45.5 wins. Now, this one's like barely even fair, though we did know Ja Morant wasn't going to play the first 25 games.
Yes.
We took the over, though. They hit 27 wins here right now. You locked this one in.
I locked this one. I changed this one, though, on our next show because Steven Adams got hurt that day.
That's true.
Got hurt that day. Okay. I said, I'm taking the under now, but it's on the record.
It's on the record. You brought up Kevin Pelton's projections, how they love this squad. We took the over. We were wrong. So, again, we don't even have one right yet here in this division. Pelicans, 44.5 wins. We took the under. Just took the under. I locked this one in too, and they just hit the over. Tight. Hey, look, Vegas is good at this. Some of these are pretty damn good. And we finally got the Spurs right. 28.5 wins. Wemby mania was at an all-time high, even in the preseason. And we said, no, we're taking the under. They slow play it there in San Antonio. Yeah, we didn't want to bet against Wemby, but we were like, come on, that's a lot of wins. They're going to be under 20 wins. So we got that right. So 8-7 for you in the West. I was 7-8. We both went 1-2 on our locks. So when you add it up, our records are identical. 16-14, 3-3 on our locks.
There you go.
And we basically just sort of split it, having the same record. Not bad. Not great.
That's gambling. 16-14. That's what people do.
That's gambling.
Exactly right. Even Steven.
A few other notes. Vegas had 13 overs to 17 unders coming through. Still technically undecided about the Bulls, but we'll count it as an over. You'd been better off to go under more times than not, at least from those lines. And again, we agreed on 22 of the over-unders. So on the ones we agreed on, we went 12-10. and then the ones we disagreed on, we split 4-4. So all of that
we're the Atlanta
just shows
Hawks,
you
bro.
How silly it is. We're the Hawks. But 16 could be worse. Obviously, could be better. But
good stuff.
Yeah, there you go. So holding ourselves accountable. Now you would have went probably 28-2 or something like that. 27-3.
No. Nobody in the history of humanity has ever gotten anywhere close to 20-10. I bet.
Yeah.
I bet people are.
20-10, that's incredible if you do that. Yeah, that's good. Very, very good.
That's a good season.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap up this bad boy with Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
The legendary Kelly Dwyer. brought up something that is very important for everybody leading into the postseason next week.
Okay.
Because I forget every year, but this is entirely true. He wrote, playoff reminder, TNT starts on time, ESPN starts 15 minutes late. That's right.
It's a good tip.
That's knowledge.
Yeah, so you get a, you see a scheduled time for an 8 o'clock game, ESPN, the ball ain't tipping at 8 o'clock. No. It's tipping at about 8:15. That's approximately right. Could be 8:17. Could be 8:18. It ain't going to be short. That's for sure.
You got 15 minutes to play with, yeah.
There will be some gambling ads in there. they fit in some ads, that's for sure, as they do their pregame. While TNT is closer to 8 o'clock, let's say the game is starting at 8 o'clock, TNT will be pretty close.
Pretty close.
8:02, 8:03.
Especially, yeah, if they have the doubleheader.
Right. Yeah. Well, then it's super tight. Yeah, yeah. I wonder if ESPN changes in that. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Would they start their earlier game a little bit early? Or their early
game?
Because
their whole thing is, you know, TNT, their whole thing is their halftime show. And maybe you could even argue their postgame show with the Inside the NBA guys, where ESPN, you can't battle with those guys. So they have to feel like they lean more into their pregame show. They're trying to set that. Not that it's like all that great. They should take some notes from. They should just bring in the women's team that was doing the tournament for them. But it's a good tip. It's
a great
tip. It's pretty spot on. You're right.
Yeah.
Because you'll panic sometimes. You're like, oh crap! I gotta get to the game. But if it's on ESPN, you can go walk the dog still. You can do whatever you gotta do.
Yeah, exactly. Kelly Dwyer just gave you 15 free minutes for every game. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty spectacular. What about NBA TV? Because NBA TV does get a few games in the first round, specifically in the first round.
I think they're pretty good, aren't
they? They're pretty tight.
Yeah.
They're pretty tight. Stand for the national anthem, sit down, watch the game. That's what happens. That's what happens in every arena, I think. I think it's pretty tight to the start time. So, yes, ESPN gets it in there, sells some ads, and they start late. That's for sure.
Does it feel like to you guys that the play-in starts on Tuesday, that the playoffs literally start next weekend? Like, we're going to have 8 games on? Every game of importance with the 4 on Saturday, 4 on Sunday next week. Does it feel like it to you guys or not? Because I always get in this weird little area here where it's like, I just like want them to start.
Yeah.
But they still feel so far away to me.
Oh, they are.
But they're not.
Well, they are.
What do you mean, a week?
Yeah. They used to be just a couple days.
Oh, I'm excited for the play-in. The play-ins have been fun. Or I think they might. Well, some have been.
Some have been fun.
We've had some, what did we have? Some Wizards, Hornets, or whatever.
Wizards,
Pacers.
Oh, Pacers.
A few times,
yeah.
Watching Dougie McDermott run around those screens. Yeah, it didn't work out.
You're gonna have LeBron versus Steph.
Oh, those are going to be good. That one's going to be good.
Rematch.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Again, I'm excited here. I'm in Atlanta. I get to watch Atlanta, Chicago. Sure.
Okay. I'm excited for the play.
You know we'll be on playback for that one.
Well, you know it.
Got it.
It is a little wild above Atlanta, Chicago that Embiid might be in the play-in, or he may actually bump up to 6. There's a chance. But the 7th-8 might be interesting because Orlando might drop to the play-in game, which I'll be interested in because they want to make the freaking playoffs, not just the play-in. But they may drop there. And the Pacers, obviously. This is a new era of the Pacers. This ain't Dougie McDermott's Pacers. This is a fun team.
He is, though, back, right? Yeah.
He's sort of still his.
He's there in the huddles. That's about it.
These are his huddles.
Yeah.
Next week. But yes, we'll have the drop podcast tomorrow to break down some of tonight's games, some of the big storylines, worst of the week nominees. Mm-hmm. Five Star Friday,
International
Rapid Fire, International Five Star Friday. That'll be very exciting. So join us at 10 a.m. Eastern tomorrow. And then, the final weekend of the regular season. You know, we'll be back on Monday to do winners and losers of the NBA weekend. We have a guest lined up next week, which will be very exciting. Wow. So we got some fun stuff coming. And if you're a Survivor fan later today at 1 p.m. Eastern, oh my God, we got No Buffs, our Survivor recap podcast to break down episode several. Jeff Probst got credit for the quote last night. My God. By way of Jelinski, of course. But
I love Jelinski, man. That's amazing. I love this guy.
We'll be talking about a very entertaining Survivor episode from last night. That's at 1 p.m. Eastern. No Buffs, own YouTube feed, own podcast feed. But until tomorrow, hear from the No Dunks Classic Factory, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, the stream team coming through with some suggestions for what you should do in that 15 minutes you have now, because ESPN playoff games, they start 15 minutes late. So some good ones here. Make a cup of tea. Sure. Schumann writes, ESPN's got to have a pregame show after their pregame show. Interesting stuff there, Schumann. Not a suggestion, but anyway, I got that in there. And you can go take a D word I don't want to say it. It feels nasty. Yeah, dump. You can go take a dump before the game starts. Come on, bot fact.
You literally say poop all the time on this show.
Yeah, I don't say go take a dump in the 15 minutes. I don't think they're going to start their pregame.
You take dumps with your door open, I believe.
Well, that's a family thing. not in this house.
Not in the back.
My kids tell me stories when I'm on the pooper, just I tell them stories when they're on the pooper. But I don't think ESPN's going to come on air and say, hey, we'll be here in 15 minutes. You got to go take a dump. We'll be back.
You know what?
They should.
Better pregame show half the time.
People watch.
All right. Embrace the day, people.